Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We got a great program for you tonight. Well, ladies and gentlemen, most of you already know this is Super Bowl 40, 40 years of the Super Bowl, 100 million. And if you are one of the listeners on WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, tonight with Pastor Buddy and Shepherd's Call, you don't belong to the 100 million that is sitting before the television sets, worshiping and idolizing and enjoying the pleasures of chasing a pigskin. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, what's so bad about a pigskin? Well, we're going to talk to you tonight in the entitlement of our message, the unclean swine. Ladies and gentlemen, we have wandered far from the fold. You know, the straight gate and the narrow way, the few there be that find it. We have turned our nation into a nation of pleasure-loving, sin-loving, lasciviousness is the proper word. And the Bible says, for those who have turned aside into these things have become unfruitful and unwise. Leviticus chapter 20 is where we're going tonight for a message. And call a friend and tell them tonight that Pastor Buddy is on WWCR. This is the transmitting jewel of the South, the number one shortwave radio for the Christian world. That's why it's called WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio. You tell a friend that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy is on the air tonight. We're going to get into some interesting scriptures. We're going to take you to a host of scriptures. We might have to do a 2 or 3 part series on this because it's that important. You see, the Bible said for this cause, and there is a cause, we've got to figure out the cause, and we're going to figure it out tonight and tell you why that heart disease and cancer in that order is the two most fearful diseases upon the planet and perhaps is two of the most preventable. It all has to do with diet, mainly diet. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, if it doesn't require a pharmaceutical application treatment, then it can't be cured. Ladies and gentlemen, if we would just believe the word that is written, and that word is forever settled in heaven, and nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken away. Now, I know that a lot of people is going to say, as it says in Romans 14:14, that all things are to be accepted and cleansed through thanksgiving and things of this order. That's some of the New Testament argument against what is written in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24. The food laws, of course, is written in Leviticus chapter 11. But we're going to go into Leviticus chapter 26. I want to make a point in case here, a case in point, that we can establish a case with a point. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, verse 14, and you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do my commandments, but that you break my covenant. Now, what's the covenant here, ladies and gentlemen, and what's the commandments? I will also do this to you. I will even appoint over you terror. Now, did you catch that? I will appoint over you terror. Well, isn't the number one news articles of the day, well, matter of fact, at halftime, which is right about now, probably in the Super Bowl affair, we are rumored to have someone that is supposed to have known inside information that there's going to be some kind of a terrorist attack at the Super Bowl. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here is part of that. I will appoint over you terror. Now, what's terror? That is disinformation, fear. Fear has torment. And the people can't even enjoy their football game. What happened to thinking about the darn place to be blown up? Heaven forbid that 100 million people plus, just in the United States, I'm not talking about around the world, we're talking about billions of people tuned in around the world on these satellite extravaganzas that they got going on. But I will appoint over you terror, consumption, the burning ague, and they shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, for all your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you will reign over you. Oh, nobody don't hate America, do they? These enemies that are coming in, you mean these immigrants that are enemies? Well, that's the ones coming in, and they are slaying their enemies before them. Crime, disease, rampant, raging, consuming the eyes, sorrow of heart. I will set my face against you. I will set my face against you. They that hate you shall reign over you. Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, America is no longer governed by the free people. We don't have any freedoms anymore, although we think we do. You just try to step outside the realm of what they consider to be outside the realm, and you'll see. And you shall flee when none pursues you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just living in the days of a commandment breaking and covenant breaking. Terror and consumption. Burning ague, that's cancer. Consuming the eyes. Sorrow of the heart. The heart is sick. Heart disease number one, cancer number two. So here we are. We're right in the very events, and all of this has to do practically with disobedience in the clean and unclean laws and the keeping of the commandments, breaking it for those things which shall come upon you. And I just read, I will break the pride of your power, and I will make you as heaven as iron above you, and the earth is brass, and I will not hearken unto you, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees yield her fruits. And if you walk contrary to me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send the wild beast among you, which shall rob you of your children. Now, you can figure this out real quick. Everybody thinks in the carnal sense there. This is a spiritual application to a people that will come in and rob our nation of our children. They will destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate, and you will not be reformed by me and by these things, but you will walk contrary to me. Then I will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you seven times more. What about diet? Well, tonight, we're playing the Super Bowl. And thank you for tuning in to Pastor Buddy tonight and missing that extravaganda that they got. Most of it propaganda. Most of it pleasure rated. Most of it idol worship. And everything that they're doing with the filthy pigskin, which the Bible declares to be unclean. But let's look at what people think about God's laws when he declared in the 11th chapter of the book of Leviticus that swine, along with other animals, were unclean. Now, pork raising, especially North Carolina in the South, North Carolina leads the South in pork production. And if you go down into the, not into the beautiful Smokies of the North Carolina side, this is where it's clean and not much of the unclean there. But if you get down in the valley going toward the ocean, you'll find these giant hog farms that are raising pork. And by the state's own admission, they have created a situation that will take years, perhaps never, to be cleaned up. They cannot do away with the waste products of these hogs, let alone what it's doing to the population of America and other nations. Now, this is a report out of Rome that pork raising has come to be one of the greatest industries of this country, talking about America, but we're going across, we're going to the worldwide scene here in a minute. And since the supply is wholly regulated by the demand, it may be taken as a proper index of the qualities or quantities of swine's flesh, which are daily required to satisfy the demands of the American people. No other kind of animal food is so largely used as pork in its various forms of preparation. Ladies and gentlemen, pork is the number one flesh consumed by mankind. There is no other animal as that requires such a large portion to supply the demand that this dead carcass utilizes food is considered such a delicacy that not a particle of the animal shall be wasted. The fat and the lean portions are eaten fresh or carefully preserved by salting or smoking or both. The tail is roasted, the snout, the ears, and the feet are pickled and eaten as, oh my heavens, even the intestines and lungs are eaten as a tripe or made into sausages. Black pudding is made of the blood. The liver, the spleen, and the kidneys are also prized delicacies. The pancreas and other glands are considered great delicacies, while even the skin is made into jelly or gelatin. In fact, nothing is left of the beast, not even the bristles, which the shoemaker claims. Surely it must be quite important matter and one well deserving attention if it can be shown that an animal which is thus literally devoured and that in such immense quantities, it is not only unfit for food, but one of the prime causes of many loathsome and painful diseases. Now, let's look at what the pig, the swine, as it's known in the Bible, we call it hogs here in the South. And to examine the hog, you can see that it can be determined, respecting his real nature and his office in the economy of nature, if he has any, is a scavenger. A scavenger. The word scrofula is derived from the Latin scrofu, which means a sow. The ancient Romans believed that scrofula originated with the hog, and hence they attached the name of the beast to the very disease. Now, what does this produce? Well, microscopic worms that can produce in the intestines of a human being, tapeworms, that can go as long, this has been recorded, this is actual scientific proof, that they can go anywhere the length for several yards, and not infrequently, tapeworms measuring 30 to 100 feet in length are found quite commonly in the intestines of human beings from the consumption of swine flesh. Well, is Yahweh pleased that he would give us these things? What do you say, Pastor Buddy? In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 10, verse 10 through 28, I'm going to read to you what man has determined, the only scripture that they use in defense that God has cleaned everything up and nothing to be refused. Let me read you the whole text, and then you may change your mind about whether this animal has been cleansed after God, remember, he don't change, same yesterday, forever. He declared it to be unclean in the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy and other books as well, and even in Isaiah 66, where he said that they would worship the swine by eating its flesh. And ladies and gentlemen, it's become the number one food. Happened to be unclean. No scripture anywhere says it's ever been cleansed. But man has jumped down on this scripture here. And Peter became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. This is Acts 10, verse 10. Verse 11, and he saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending upon him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Master. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, call thou not common. And this was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made an inquiry for Simon's house, and as they sought Peter, they stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto them, behold, three men seek you. Arise, Peter, therefore, and get thee down and go with them. Now remember, they were fixing dinner because he'd become hungry through some unknown power. It'd come upon him, and he got very hungry. And they was fixing him something to eat when they appeared before him, three men, and the Spirit said, go, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, an Italian, an Israelite living in Italy, and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause, therefore, that you have come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth Yahweh, and of good report among all the nation of the Hebrews, was warned from Yahweh by a holy angel to send for you to this house and to hear words of you. And then called he then and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them to Italy. And on the morrow, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius, an Italian, waited for them. And he said, as he called unto his kinsmen and his near friends, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down on his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, for I myself also am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were together. And he said unto them, here is the 28th verse, and this is my point. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Hebrew. The word is Jew has been mistranslated. Jew and Israel has been interchangeably put in here. They put in Jew, but Peter was no Jew. He was a Galilean from the northern 10 tribes out of the house of Benjamin. You know that it is not lawful for a Hebrew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But now listen here. But God has showed me that I should call no man common or unclean. Now are you with me? Has nothing to do with the unclean or clean beast that is mentioned in Leviticus chapter 11. This was a vision, a trance state, for Peter, who had never eaten with anyone outside of the nation of Israel, had not known that they that had been scattered abroad were of the same blood and of the same nation or the same bloodline that he was. Because he had been taught that it was not common or it was unlawful for him to eat with what he considered to be a Gentile. Or someone of another nation. And God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Not beast, but a man. So this was strictly. But you see, everybody uses this scripture that God has cleaned up everything. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's true, when was the last time that you ate a bat, a rat, a buzzard, a dog, a skunk? A rattlesnake. We could go on and on with the unclean animals that no man would dare to eat. And yet these things that we have ventured into, these unclean animals, see, swine is the largest consumed flesh upon the planet in the animal kingdom. Swine. God declared it to be unclean. It's a scavenger. It will eat dead, rotten, corrupt flesh. It's a scavenger. It cleans up that which has died of itself. When it runs wild down in the Smoky Mountains, we have these wild hogs, and they clean up the animals that die themselves and things of this nature. They are to keep nature's terrain clean as scavengers. Just like if you go into the ocean, there are the fish, or in the rivers, there are unclean fish that are determined to be unclean, and it tells you not to eat these. Science will tell you that if you do eat these, the first thing that you do when you've got sugar diabetes or you've got high blood pressure and you go to the doctor, the first thing that the doctor will ask you if you eat pork or if you eat shellfish, and that's the first attempt to correct your problem, they will take away from you the unclean meats. Isn't that strange that man will bring upon himself swift destruction? Deuteronomy 14:3. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, you see, Pastor Buddy, Lord of God, God's cleaned up everything and nothing to be refused with thanksgiving. All things are clean. To him that esteemeth anything unclean, so it's a faith thing. If you eat anything with faith, you're okay. Ladies and gentlemen, how can you eat in faith when the written word condemns those that break his commandment? Proverbs 28 and verse 9. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall become an abomination. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing, and you shouldn't pray an abominable prayer to God by saying that you love him and then break his commandments, because he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you break my commandments, you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. So then, the challenge for you is to keep his ordinances. In Malachi 3 and 6, for I am Yahweh, I change not according. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you are not consumed, even from the days of your fathers. You have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, health is something that is a blessing. Now, why is it that people have went out of their way to eat the unclean things when God determined to be unclean and told them not to eat them, not even to touch them? And we've got people playing with an unclean football tonight, and 100 million are idolizing and worshiping and being entertained with such shenanigans. Why is it that we take an unclean animal and have such delight? It's simply because when man dares to break the commandments, and then when there's no speedy execution against his commandment or covenant breaking. But is there? You see, God is not going to kill 100 million people tonight that's watching the unclean play with an unclean object as they uncleanly worship and watch these filthy things going on the field. They don't realize that they're breaking. But you go by the hospitals. If you went to Detroit, Michigan tonight, where they're playing in the Super Bowl, and you walked away from the roar of the crowd and the entertainment, and you could turn your head long enough and walk down into the alleys and see the winos and the drunks and the drug heads laying in the back alleys, give them wholly up to be lost, as the rich, the powerful, the entertainment, and the elite, as they worship these playing with a filthy pigskin. If you walk on up to the hospitals and you see them crammed full of people with heart disease and cancer consumption, as the Bible calls it, and sugar diabetes and things of this nature that is from the result of eating unclean foods. 90% of this is diet related, and the rest is environmental stress that is caused by eating these foods and combine them with sugar and things that we consume daily, alcohol and reveling and drinking. And the Bible says they will think it strange that you don't run with them to the same excess of riding, even in the daytime. Go to the hospitals, the insane asylums, and go to the places where people are in the emergency rooms. For what Pastor Bud is talking to you tonight is the results of breaking God's commandments. Among beast mammals, which part the hoof, or in other words, are cloven-footed, which also chewed the cud, were considered clean. Hence, oxen, sheep, goats, and deer were considered clean, while camels, rabbits, and swine were considered unclean. In the realm of seafood, only these creatures which have fins and scales were clean. And this made all forms of shellfish, including shrimp, crab, lobster, oysters, clams, unclean. Anything that didn't have scales or fins were considered to be unclean. And yet, Red Lobster will set it out for you, and you will pay handsomely to eat it. And it has a show of disobedience. That's why people often revel in disobedience as they sit there. They don't fall out of the church with heart attacks when they break God's laws and those speedy sentences executed against them. Therefore, everybody thinks it's okay to do these things, but listen to what the Bible says. As he instructed his people that they were to observe the difference between the unclean and the clean, because he wanted them to be a holy and healthy people. You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean. Leviticus chapter 20, 25 through 26. You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth upon the ground or upon the earth, that I have determined to be unclean unto you. I have separated you from the unclean. You shall be holy unto me, for I am holy, and I have severed you from other people that you should be mine. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh knows them that are his. Now let's look at some of the New Testament scriptures that seem to indicate, under the direction of Paul's writing, and many wrestle with the scriptures of Paul to their own destruction. Let me give you an example here. I know and am persuaded by the Messiah that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, everybody thinks, well, because there is nothing unclean of itself, then I'll declare it's not unclean, and I will go eat it. I will eat shellfish. I like lobsters, and I like crabs and things of this nature that are unclean. Therefore, I will eat them because God has told me that there is nothing unclean of itself. And what God has cleansed is not unclean. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just read this again. To him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, didn't Yahweh esteem certain animals and certain shellfish and certain fish to be unclean? Well, if he esteemed it to be unclean, he esteemeth it today, but to him it is unclean. Romans 14 and 14, that's what it says. God himself esteemed that these were unclean, and you could have health problems, serious health problems, and you could become abominable. Even your prayers could become abominable if you eat these things. Now let's look at 1 Timothy, another good one that they use to justify eating unclean. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Everybody thinks, well, if you pray over your food, it's okay. So you can change an unclean beast into a clean beast by praying over it. That ain't what that said. For every creature of God is good. When God made good and evil, darkness and light, he created all these things, but he gave you, he created strychnine. It's got a purpose, and there's something good for strychnine. But it's not to be internally consumed because it will kill you because it's poison. Rattlesnakes are good for the environment. And the chain of our ecology. But if you take one up as a pet, then you're perhaps without charming it, you're going to get bitten by a deadly rattlesnake. And if you're in the right place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time and you get bit with these, you might not live to get treatment because they can kill you. A rattlesnake's got enough venom in it to bring a horse down and kill it. Ladies and gentlemen, we must use our wisdom and knowledge, for every creature of God is good. God created the swine, the buzzards, into the chain of the environment to cleanse and keep the earth environmentally clean by these scavengers, but he called them unclean, and you're not even to touch them. And their plan before 100 million people tonight in America. You see where America's gone, ladies and gentlemen? 100 million of them, should they listen to Pastor Buddy teach on these laws of good and the faithful sayings. But instead, they revel and they run to excess and riot, drink, eat, and be merry, for in the end time, they will call good evil. They don't like Pastor Buddy because Pastor Buddy preaches against these things. And then they'll call evil, the swine that God determined to be unclean, they will call it good and clean, and they wouldn't have it any other way because it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. They do have a prayer right before the kickoff, the pigskin. Yeah, and they sing God Bless America or the national anthem. Oh, say, can you see? Yeah, you can see what America has gone to. She has forsaken God and his laws and his covenants. And they've gone a-whoring after the things that God told them not to do. But abstaining from pork is not a commandment for church members today. Abstaining from pork is not a commandment, because they have justified it away in the New Testament, saying that all things are good and nothing to be refused, when God has never changed his mind. And God did not mean for pork to be consumed as it is today, the number one meat in the world. Can you believe that? Many people have felt that pork is not helpful meat, since pigs are very prone to parasites. Well, then we need a change in the eating habits of America and the world for that matter, because pork is the number one food, flesh, consumed upon the earth. Now, what is the purpose of eating flesh? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of eating swine's flesh is because it's so easy and so keepable. And I hear this argument that without hog meat, America couldn't have been built in the wilderness. And in those times, they took the swine and slayed them, and they salted them down, and they carried the fat back. And they render the Lord. Nothing is wasted of a pig, like it, not even the squeal, hardly. They eat the pig from its tail to its snout, as I've done indicated, and the pulsy pig pork, they see no wrong in consuming the swine's flesh before God and justifying it and calling God a change of mind man. Oh, God changed his mind. He cleaned up everything. And without that, we couldn't have built America without a keepable, non-perishable food. You see, you can salt down meat. This pork will take salt. And once it's salted, then this meat will keep forever. Matter of fact, the old adage is that a ham of meat is no good unless it has the green mold growing on the outer edges. Can you believe that now, ladies and gentlemen? No wonder the swine's flesh is a fertile field for the parasites. The worms that infest this meat, these microscopic worms, eggs, that can eventually turn into tapeworms that can grow up to 100 feet in the intestines. I know of one child 12 years of age, complained of stomach cramps, had constant diarrhea, could not gain weight, got so bad that it went into a coma and died. And during the autopsy, they had discovered a tapeworm 30 feet long from the intestines had eaten its way from the intestines all the way up into the brain of the child, and it died. Its favorite food? Pork. Iowa is a big producer of swine's flesh. Kansas is a large producer of swine's flesh. North Carolina, as I've already mentioned, many of the states have accumulated so much waste, ungodly waste. John Johnson, a farmer of Williams, Iowa, speaking on the subject, states that the swine in Iowa are principally fed on corn, but will eat anything we give them, he said. If anything dies, a cow or a dog or anything that dies on our farm, we can throw it to the hogs, and the hogs will literally clean up the dead carcass of anything that comes into the pen. I have actually witnessed, he said, hogs chewing at the cancer that is on other hogs, and these hogs are shipped to the market. And many times, cattle are infected from an incurable disease of the hog, which they call the mad itch. It is transmitted by the hog's saliva left on the corn, which cattle come along behind and eat, and this itching will cause the cattle to become so intense that they will run from one stump to stump until they rub their skin literally from their mouths and die as a result. When the saliva from the hog's mouth poisons cattle in this way, how can hogs be fit for man to eat? Here's a hog raiser. He raises hogs, but he won't eat them. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Johnson needs to repent from all of his evil ways. Farmers know that when they're feeding cattle, it pays for them to keep the hogs separated so that the hogs can follow the cattle and not the cattle follow them. Thus, they turn it into pork for the public market. Swines have running sores under their hooves. If you ever get an opportunity to visit a hog farm that raises hogs, lift the front hoof of the hog, and just with a little pressure, you will find a greenish matter will ooze out from between the toes of the swine. This is the small outlet for the various heinous poisons that the hog takes into his body. Occasionally, this artery becomes stopped up, and the poison backs up into a system, and the greenish growths are formed in various parts of the body. Hogs are marvelous creatures. They are scavengers created for the very purpose of removing the things that have died upon the earth. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. When you see stamped on the pork product the words U.S. government inspected and passed, these words do not mean that any official inspection whatever has been made as to whether the pork has worms or not. It is merely passed as the routine inspection given for meat in general. Just one worm in a swine can kill a human being. There's a worm called the gullet worm. It's a large round worm, and this gullet worm that has three kinds of stomach worms, a tiny fur worm, a hookworm, and the thorn-headed worm in the small intestines of the swine. These species of nodular worms and one species of hookworm in the large intestine and the kidney worm and the large worm, round worm, can be as big as 18 inches, and most of the swine are infected with these worms. Now, they advise you to cook the meat to kill all the parasites. My question is, if all of them are killed, do you ingest the parasites? And that's gross to even think about it, but that's the way it is. They admit that most the flesh of the swine is infected with these three types of worms. Now, by doing this or by consuming the flesh of the swine, people have become sick and have come down with all kinds of symptoms from eating swine's flesh. Now, tonight, the Super Bowl is playing, and they're running up and down the field with an unclean species. God gave the Israelites a reason for them to not eat any unclean animal or even touch their carcass, because they were to be holy. For I am holy. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, or chapter 11, verse 44 and 45. Here, God does not distinguish between clean and unclean animals specifically for health's sake. There's other reasons. However, the larger context of Leviticus and Deuteronomy includes many issues of health and hygiene. And the four chapters of Leviticus that follow the listings of clean and unclean meats deal with the precautions after childbirth and the means to identify and to eliminate the spread of communicable diseases. So the distinction between clean and unclean meats appear in context of health and well-being. No wonder so many of us today are sick and weak, because we ourselves justify the eating of unclean meat. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible and the Word of God is forever settled. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. And to avoid eating unclean animals and even not to touch their dead carcass. And yet a football, the unclean football, does it exemplify the unclean marching to the beat of the unclean? Because the Bible says for us not to learn the way of the heathen, but the heathen way we have learned, we have justified it by changing or corrupting or adding or taking to or from the Word of God, changing God's uncorruptible Word into corruptible things, justifying it even to the point that we will dine and die from the effects of eating unclean meats that even the doctors will tell you that centuries of epidemics have killed thousands and thousands of people. And all this is related to diet and misunderstanding or misinterpretation of the Word of God. You see, good health and nutrition, if we would only believe the Word of God, if we would fear Him and love Him and keep His commandments, then God would forgive our sins and heal our land. for the next 15 years. This is what the projection of the United Nations on global meat consumption is, will grow by 2% annually until the end of 2015. As the population and incomes rise and more people move to the cities, says the United Nations Food Body Supply said. 2%. In other words, for every 1 million pound now sold in the marketplace for the consumption of this unclean meat, we will have 3 million pound in its place by the end of 2015. And we're just talking about millions of pound per, because we're at a 2% increase, and the world consumption will rise 2% continuously over the next 15 years. That's a 30% increase of what we are already eating. It's only going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen, and nothing is going to change because people will not believe the Word of God. Now, I want to ask you a question before I close. Is it any surprise to you that Satan has created an appetite for the very foods that God forbade? Should it be any surprise that these epidemic diseases that are threatening or predicted to come follows in violation of God's laws that he has projected to bring forth in the last days? Ladies and gentlemen, we are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And I hope and trust tonight, if you've listened to Pastor Buddy, you haven't tuned in to the entertainment of sin, that is the Super Bowl 40. We're now 40 years having these extravaganzas presented to us each year in the winter months when we can consume large quantities of meat and rejoice with the unclean as they run up and down the field, 11 men on each side, ladies and gentlemen. Then 11 is division. And so then Satan, in all of his wise ways, has figured out how to trick the mind of man into breaking God's laws, as he did in Genesis chapter 3, Satan has always stood, he's the opposer. Anything that God claims to be good, Satan will claim to be evil. Anything that God says to be evil, Satan will come along and convince mightily. He will convince mightily the opposite. Isn't that the characteristics of clean and unclean? Satan himself is an unclean beast. And ladies and gentlemen, he will go to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, and those who have fallen for his arguments that God didn't know what he was talking about, and we don't have to stay clear of these unclean things, that now that we can eat these unclean things and we can thrive and we can be healthy. And yet today, ladies and gentlemen, we have the largest health care enacted system on the planet at any time in history. We got more people sick as a result of this mass eating of unclean foods. I'm telling you, if you want your arteries clogged with the fat and the cholesterol and the things that causes heart attacks, just keep eating unclean foods. Wallow in your misery as the hog wallows in the mire, and as the sow that was washed returns to her wallowing in the mire, or as the dog returns to its own vomit, so man returns to the laws of the unclean to break God's word and to dare him to punish them for their disobedience. Be not deceived, ladies and gentlemen, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Ladies and gentlemen, my time is coming and gone tonight, and I've enjoyed being with you. If you'd like to have a copy of the Swine's Flesh, you can call Pastor Buddy tonight at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy, you can simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. New Tazewell, two words, NEW TAZEWELL. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. And if you'd like to go to our website tonight, you can simply do that by going to www.pastorbuddy.com. You're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight on WWCR, and wherever you may hear this message preached on replay around the WWCR radio network. That's Worldwide Christian Programming, the Jewel of the South, WWCR. Or you can write or call Pastor Buddy. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Or you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, I'll see you on part two of Swine's Flesh next Sunday night. Yahweh blessing you. I'm not going to be able to do it.